Did I explain clearly? Is there any non-clear places that you have encountered? Yes, temple.
Can you remind us where this text comes from? Which tradition?
This text is a small fragment of the chapter called the Shravaka Bhumi. Shravaka Bhumi means the stage of practice based on the practices of the disciples. And this scripture is much larger, even I believe, than at least twice as long as the Visuddhimagga, and Visuddhimagga is already pretty long. To the best of my knowledge, now it has been translated only in parts, and the Sanskrit is available only also in parts, not the whole. But it is available in Chinese and in the Tibetan translation. This translation seems to be practically the same, based on the same text. And the peculiarity of this text, it explained the Buddhist yoga, or the yogacara, literally means the conduct according to yoga. This word is not used, as you know, in the Theravada Buddhism, but in the Mahayana, especially in the Yogacara tradition, they come back to this yoga tradition. And in the Brahmanical tradition also, they have accepted a lot of the Yogacara ideas, like the Kashmiri Shaivism is more or less directly related to Yogacara, and it was a very powerful philosophy, amalgamating the ideas of Yogacara with the Samkhya Vedanta. And this may be the most voluminous book you can find on the yoga tradition, the Yoga Vashishta, very fascinating. So the Yogacara has influenced the Brahmanical tradition. Brahmanical tradition has no doubt also influenced on the Yogacara. So that's why these ideas of the Tathagata Garbha, the womb of Tathagata, the Buddha nature, and so on, they are also related to. That's how the Indian philosophy could develop such a depth, because these great traditions could influence each other. And this Yogacara Bhumi Shastra explained the Buddhist yoga on the base of 17 stages of the practices, with concentrated mind, without concentrated mind, without mind, with the vitarka and vichara, with vichara but no vitarka, with without vitarka and vichara, and so on, with very subtle divisions, with samadhi, without samadhi. So it gives you the scope of the activities of the mind on the way of learning yoga. And the yoga is actually shamatha and vipassana. But it is cannot be divided from the theories, so it also criticizes the other theories, like tattva samgraha, and so on, and it has influenced the whole development of the explanation of shamatha and vipassana in the northern tradition, in Sanskrit. The northern tradition means Sanskrit transmission. And it is the, like Visuddhimagga is the most important book on meditation in Theravada. This is a compilation of the northern tradition. But it, except the chapter dealing on the bodhisattva stage, it actually, this is why it's so fascinating for those who study Theravada. The other chapters explain more or less the background of the differentiating wisdom of the Shravaka practice. So it makes it very interesting. So it's called Yogacara Bhumi Shastra, literally translated, the treatise on the stages of the conduct of the yoga.
I think I have a big misunderstanding. I thought that prior to the 16 steps, there had to be a pretty deep understanding regarding the five aggregates and the dependent origination and reality or the characteristics.
No, this is a different, you can have a different explanation and there is no problem. Why make it a problem? In Anapana Sutta, you don't have, you have some hints that you can practice Anapana at all stages as a Putujana, as the Sotapana, as the Arahat, all will benefit from the Anapana Sati, but then it simply explains the 16 exercises. This is, it does not say that you practice them after becoming enlightened. No, it does not say that at all.
Okay. I thought I misunderstood. Another piece of my misunderstanding is I thought that when you enter jhana, and obviously I have very limited experience, so it's theoretical, but I thought that mental fabrications and mental formations would not arise, so the thought that I am...
A great problem, especially in the Theravada countries. In Theravada countries, I have myself encountered, especially in Sri Lanka, where this meditation tradition has practically disappeared and has been renewed because the teachers came from Burma and so on. In Sri Lanka, the many people believe that to attain the jhana must be a madness. You don't hear anything, you don't feel anything, you become mad. So they think that attaining the jhana is impossible. So the only practice is as explained by Mahasi or Goenka now. You cannot practice the jhana because of this misunderstanding. In Burma, not so much. But in Sri Lanka, it is very common. Why? Because the jhana, actually there is a pure jhana, and there is a jhana which is not pure. In northern tradition, they have this clear distinction. And all the universe structure is explained on this principle. You have in the heavens, you have also the lower stage, the middle stage, and the higher stage. And they are explained on the mastery of the jhana. Our mastery of the jhana is very low. Because even so we attain the jhana, we still have the fluctuations. But they will not last long, of course, because that is a very subtle state. But these fluctuations will be there. To get rid of them, you have to go to meditate in caves for very, very long time. In our life it's practically impossible. And now very few attain the deep jhana. There are some, but they don't mix with society so much. But you will find some in Burma, in the Himalayas, who really go deep into the jhana. Then you don't have these fluctuations. But in our case, these fluctuations will appear, but they will not influence your staying in this subtle state, which you can use for vipassana. And the Theravada emphasizes the jhana only as a means for vipassana. Important is the vipassana, not jhanas as such. Jhanas are explained as only the means for vipassana. Once you can use it for vipassana, you can get liberation on it, and it is much makes the liberation much easier than just practicing with this not developed concentration. So in this Abhidharma system of meditation, which is has been preserved only in Burma, not in Thailand, not in Sri Lanka, this mastery of the jhanas, at least to some extent, is the condition for learning this anupada vipassana, the detailed vipassana. And the other tradition just emphasizes the kalapa vipassana only, not the anupada vipassana. And the anupada vipassana, if one is interested in philosophy, in psychology, is extremely interesting, no doubt. In other traditions, they study the Abhidharma only as the scholastic discipline, no? Not as the direct experiencing.
I'd always thought it was a progression so that there might be some sounds and there might be some stray thoughts in the first and possibly the second, but by the third that...
Well, that is what people sing because they don't practice.
Okay. Thank you for clarifying that.
Yeah. Because this explanation, they are misleading. Very misleading. From the book, you can get very easily, you can be very easily misled. So people read but don't practice, so they think the jhana is you are completely out. So it's like madness, no? But it is the opposite. It is the great sensitivity. And this great sensitivity one needs in order to attain the deep insight.
It's interesting that you keep using the word isolation as opposed to seclusion, which I think is maybe a Theravada thing as well, in that idea of seclusion.
Well, it's just only the word, only the name, no? But yeah. It means basically the same thing.
Okay, I thought it meant a state of seclusion where all of these other sounds and thoughts could not enter because one was so deeply secluded from that. So I understand that.
Well, this actually only means that you don't pay attention to them. It does not mean that you are completely cut from them. It is possible, I don't have that experience, but it is possible for the super yogis who meditate for years in the caves, I don't know. But it is beyond our limited faculties. Okay. once you really master these jhanas, they go automatically into the mastery of these supernatural knowledges. Then you can fly, you can do all kinds of things. But nowadays you don't see very often. But still there are some who can do this. But they will not come to Abakirki or to New York to teach. Not likely. But in India there are some cases when they do like dig, let themselves be dug in the earth, covered by earth, and they, after 1 week, they go out. In India it still can happen.
But it doesn't mean they're profoundly enlightened, does it?
Does not necessarily mean enlightenment. But they are, my Sanskrit teacher was specialist in telling the stories about it. In Banaras you can sometimes meet such a... Like he told me, there was one from Tamil Nadu, a great yogi, who came to worship in the golden temple in Banaras, and he took the sheet into his hand to worship. Then the guardian came with a stick and wanted to beat him. Then he threw this sheet on the divinity and it became white flowers. Then this guardian, he was a great devotee, so he fell on the earth and kissing his foot became his great disciple. Such things still can happen, but not every day. Okay, so let us do a bit of meditation.